First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, jackbooted thugs and patriots alike. It's again that hour. It is time for the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. This is Tuesday Night Truth with your host, Dale the Truth. We welcome you in again. If you're listening live, you, of course, can call into the show, 853-1326. 858-683-1326. And if you're listening to the archives, probably won't do you much good to call into the show, but we appreciate your input and your feedback. Today is Tuesday, July the 22nd, 2014. And we will start out with our Liberty calendar. It was kind of surreal and ominous that last week we spent several minutes talking about the anniversary of something that happened on July 17th, 1996. We talked about how last Tuesday was the 15th of July. And we talked about how on that coming Thursday, now this past Thursday, the 17th, it would have been 18 years since TWA Flight 800 was shot down. And of course, they all try to tell us that TWA Flight 800 was not shot down, and they made up all kinds of garbage, all kinds of conspiracies. They say we were the conspiracy theorists, but they make up stuff that wasn't true. Little did we know that this past week on July 17th, we would have a shooting down of a plane. We know the globalists and the puppeteers love numerology. Numbers are very important to them. And little did we know that we would have Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 being shot down also on July 17th. We're celebrating the 18-year anniversary since Flight 800 was shot down. So then on the same day, the 17th, we have Flight MH17 shot down. And we'll get into that a little bit later. We'll talk a little bit about what they don't want to tell you and what they don't want you to know. That'll be a little bit later in the show. So, starting out with This Week in History. This week in 1868, the 14th Amendment was claimed to be ratified unlawfully, as we know. If you do your research, if you do your history, if you're not one of the indoctrinated few in the government camps called public schools, you'll find out that the 14th Amendment was ratified unlawfully this week in 1868. And also, going all the way back to 1921, so we're going back 93 years ago this week, the institution of the Council on Foreign Relations was started. You guys have heard us talk a little bit about the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, this week in 1921. If you'll look that up sometime, they claim to be an innocent American nonprofit, nonpartisan leadership organization where they convene at government officials and global business leaders and prominent members of the intelligence community discussing major international issues. And we know that Elihu Root, who was a powerful corporate lawyer, also served as Secretary of State, also served as Secretary of the War. We now call that the politically correct terms, Secretary of Defense. It was war back then. And he headed the first Council on Foreign Relations with a small group of, you guessed it, New York banksters and lawyers. Remind me to tell you sometime in the future again how much I love banksters and lawyers. Now, all that being said, a lot of people don't get to hear the truth about banksters and lawyers in these government indoctrination camps we call public schools. And that's the first topic that I really want to talk about tonight, was American education, or Agenda 21, or Common Core, whatever you want to call it, because it all runs together in one big, dangerous burgoo. And Common Core is one of those important issues that flies below the radar of a lot of average Americans. There is a dearth of things for a true constitutional conservative or libertarian, or hell, even an anarchist or a anarcho-libertarian or an anarcho-capitalist to be concerned about, to be upset about. Some issues, however, are simply diversionary, or even if a positive outcome is brought about, will matter very little to our long-range liberty. But Common Core is not one of those issues. Common Core is a very important issue. Not some conspiracy theory, but it's about saving American education. And there are solutions to saving American education. Fighting Common Core in the schools is very important. It's not simply an attack on what and how our children are taught. It's a direct attack on society. Solutions offered to remedy our declining education system over the decades have necessitated further inroads on education in the sense expressed in the Communist Manifesto. Look at Marx. Look at Engels. Look what they thought about education in the state. But we know that we got to stay focused on saving American education. And there are several solutions, like I said. All of them will, however, take an abundant amount of time and effort. And the foundation is going to have to be the education of the parents to the level of understanding that Common Core is simply the latest, albeit arguably the worst, rung on a ladder. And this is a ladder that leads to socialism. There are two basic solutions, I think, when it comes to education. We really need a total separation of school and state. You know, they always talk about separation of church and state, and that's fine for people who want to get all caught up in that, even though it's not in the Constitution anywhere. But we really, really need separation of school and state. And I also don't see anything in the Constitution that says that our founding fathers wanted the government running education. I'm pretty sure they wanted it left to the local foundations. But we know the NEA and the teachers unions, and all the way up until George W. Bush gave us No Child Left Behind, that's not the way things have been going on. We can have private schooling. You have a system that will not succumb to the Common Core ideal, let alone the curriculum or the government control of it. And you also can have local schools that refuse to have any controls put over them outside of the local parents or taxpayers through the local boards. And we keep trying to preach to people here in Louisville, Kentucky, where the show is live and telecast from here on the My View Matters Network. We have a school board made out of seven elected school officials, school board members. Four of them will be on the ballot this year. If people want to run for those school board positions in Louisville, they have about another 3 weeks, just about 3 weeks to run for school board. And that's very important if you're going to have that second idea, which is the local control of schools. So it's got to be one or the other. Preferably even both, a local private system, but you have to have either a private system or a local system. This big behemoth, this big mammoth system that is the federal government is not going to operate in a manner that is constitutional or even educational. And any study of socialism will show that a prime objective, look at Marx, look at Engels, look at Stalin even. All these folks wanted to control the schools. All the subversive movements going back, I'd say back to the early 1800s, maybe even 1700s, have included this scheme in their agenda. And the more centralized that the school system can be, the more likely that they can control your children and what they learn. And we know what they say, give us the children and we'll have the future. And this will mean you need to oppose state interference as well. Yes, it's true that state is better than federal most of the time, but local is better than state or federal. In general, if you have the centralization of the school system, it builds power within them. And that stage there is going to lead up to what we know that Lord Acton said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Power tends to corrupt. Common Core is something that has been a big catchphrase in the Tea Party / Constitution / limited government movement, whatever you want to call it. It's true that if you battle Common Core, it's going to bring concerned parents to us. And in that process, you can educate them on other issues and get involved in not only saving the schools, but their country as well. But that takes a lot of time. And that's time when the big government folks are continuing to advance their cause. Time during which we need to put the bulk of our energy into issues that are going to come to a head, I'd say in the next 6 to 9 months, if not sooner. I'm not saying that you don't get involved with your local candidates and your state candidates and God forbid, a state senate or a U.S. Senate race. God knows we're not really talking about the U.S. Senate race here. That's a non sequitur for us here in the Liberty Movement in Kentucky. So you don't have to drop everything that you're doing relative to Common Core or other issue, but you need to understand what needs to be done and the importance of the shortness of time in this issue. So there's a good organization out there called the Freedom Project Education that has been phenomenal. And they have spoken to over 30,000 people in 40 states. And their effort out there has put out videos that have probably reached 2.5 million people. And these critical issues I'm talking about that you need to be concerned about, go back to Common Core, the Common Core movement. If you haven't gotten involved in fighting Common Core, I'd suggest that you do it. There are other issues out there, too, that are just as important, like we need to fight any desire to have a constitutional convention. That's one of those things that some of the neocon talk show hosts out there are just orgasmic about. We do not want a constitutional convention. Probably less people are aware of that possibility than they are of Common Core. So that should be a hint as to where we need to concentrate our efforts. How many of you have gone to a school board meeting in the last year, 2 years, 5 years, to see what goes on in these ridiculous meetings? How many of you even vote in the school board elections? See, homeschooling is great, but a lot of parents are having to work hard to pay all these taxes. Either they're slaves to the state and they got to support the tax system, or they have too many hedonistic toys that they want, so they got to work to support those desires. But it's very dangerous to have the government be the parent of your children. Even the most conservative and religious homeschooling communities often sit stunned when they see the evidence revealed to them, the long-hidden evidence of what's going on in the Common Core system. Tales of the psychological damage done by the Common Core state standards curriculum, blatantly Marxist and humanist backgrounds and agendas are growing. And the understanding of the dangers of Common Core's methodology and the dark record of related testing systems, they're spreading like wildfire. The public is awakening. That's probably why I'll spend more time talking about that than something like the Constitutional Convention, because we hope, we pray to God, for those of us who believe in a deity, that we won't ever have a Constitutional Convention. But see, the Common Core thing's already here. It's already there. The blatant denial of the rights of children in schools state-run schools, I should add, to read, carry, or discuss scriptures, or express their personally held religious beliefs. Public ridicule is heaped upon students of all ages if they just merely mention something like a belief in a creator or sanctity of life or the right to own firearms or any other myriad of politically incorrect positions that have now been banned in these public schools. Now, the colleges are one thing because people do sort of choose where they go to college. Hell, they do definitely choose where they go to college, even though they're pointed in a certain direction. And the system tells them you must go do this, and everybody must go to college. Everybody must get these student loans that we found out there's this huge boondoggle and there's this huge scandal behind. Everybody must go and get these loans and borrow lots of money, be in debt to the system and the banksters to go through the government schools, and we'll tell you what path you should take, but you still choose the university you go to. A lot of people don't have that choice at all. I would argue most people don't have that choice when it comes to where they go to elementary, middle, or high school. They often don't have a say in the matter. Now, if you want to look at who out there is promoting this common core system, some of the people that you would hear about, you might consider them conservative, but they're not conservative at all. People like the Rick Perrys of the world, governor of Texas, who just loves Common Core. People like the Christian socialist Mike Huckleberry. Now, people are understanding that Common Core is 180 degrees opposed to what our founding fathers were. Again, we have a Common Core system that says that George Washington is no different from a terrorist trying to protect our country. And then they'll tell you Thomas Jefferson was a hypocrite. Maybe you got to go look and see who were the people behind the Coalition of Essential Schools, the CES. The Coalition of Essential Schools was founded up by Deborah Meyer, a Marxist socialist. She wrote a socialist book called Who Owns America, which says America doesn't belong to the Americans. Imagine that. And they don't want you to talk about the American Revolution. They don't want to make the argument that the revolution was because of the tyranny of the British government. That view is no longer acceptable. They now want you to think that the British colonies were somehow the freest in the world, so there was no need to rebel against the crown. Maybe I should mention some names that might hit more closely to home. Maybe you'll recognize. Maybe if I mention the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, maybe if I talk about how Bill Gates provides much of the funding and research for the Common Core standards, maybe that would get your attention, right? Maybe if I told you that people like Jeb Bush and Rick Perry and Mike Huckabee were for Common Core, maybe that would make you wonder what they're doing, what their thoughts are, right? Why are they collectivists? See, the problem is we have a society of parents who are maybe even well-meaning, if we want to call it that, but many of them can't tell you much more about George Washington rather than just a vague recognition of the fellow on the $1 bill. They don't mind his being disparaged through Common Core, you see. God forbid that white European people do anything. We're just a threat to world dominance, right? We're dealing with cultural and literal illiterates. Some of it they don't know. Some of it they don't care. But it's all by design. So it's a good thing that some states are coming around on Common Core. It's a good thing if you go to the West / Midwest, even Democrat Governor Missouri reporting last week that they would sign legislation that would provide for a task force to create new educational standards that would eventually replace Common Core. No, I don't like task forces because that's just the government's way of putting something off or putting more bureaucracy into it. But it's a start to get Common Core out of the system and get the system out of Common Core. And the Oklahoma Supreme Court upheld a repeal of Common Core last week. So it doesn't fix all our problems, but it's a start. See, Common Core isn't like a sexy topic that they want to talk about on C-SPAN or Fox News or MSNBC or CNN or CNBC when the National Governors Association had their three-day meetings this week. Common Core standards were not on the formal agenda. Even Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, Republican, said that Common Core has become, in a sense, radioactive, so they don't talk about it. And see, our poor rulers, they just want us to leave them alone so they can rule over us, right? Thank goodness the state right to our north, right across the river here, Indiana, was the first one to stand up to this garbage. So like I said, if these names don't mean anything, when I come up with these socialist Marxists who are behind it, then think about the fact that this system that goes against everything your founding fathers believed in is endorsed by people like Rick Perry and Jeb Bush and Mike Huckabee. And think about the fact that Bill Gates is behind it. Maybe that'll get people to wake up a little bit. I'm listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. Again, if you want to call in, talk to us about the issues tonight. We've been talking about Common Core. After the bottom of the hour break, we will talk a little bit about that plane that went down. It's a little surreal that we were warning you about this stuff, about how dates mean things. Last week's show, talking about how we were coming up on the 18th anniversary of the TWA flight. We'll talk a little bit about that plane wreck, that plane being shot down. We'll talk a little bit about what the media won't tell you about the Malaysian Airlines flight MH17. If you want to call in, 858-683-1326. And if you are already on the airwaves with us, if you're already dialed in, and you want to talk to us and you're listening on your phone right now, then just press the 1 key and we'll know that you want to get in on the show. Be back after the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to the TNT radio show with Dale the Truth on the My View Matters radio network.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We think you can handle the truth here. This is the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. I'm your host, Dale the Truth. And before we went to the bottom of the hour break, we teased the parts of the story about the Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 being shot down that the media doesn't want to talk to you about. Thought that'd be a good place to pick up tonight. You know, they keep saying it had to be Russia. It had to be Putin, they said. Just a few days after the tragic crash of the Malaysian Airlines flight over the eastern Ukraine, Western politicians and media joined together to gain the maximum propaganda value from the disaster. It had to be Russia, they said. Obama had a press conference to claim, even before any investigation, that it was definitely Russian rebels responsible. His ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, did the same at the UN Security Council, and the Western media outlets rushed to repeat the government propaganda on the event. But there's a few things they don't want to report. They won't report that the crisis in Ukraine, as we were talking about months ago, maybe even years ago, well, at least last year, was going on when the European Union and the George Soros-supported protesters had plotted the overthrow of the elected Ukrainian president. Remember Viktor Yanukovych? Without the United States-sponsored quote-unquote regime change, it is very unlikely that hundreds would have been killed in the unrest that followed. Nor would the Malaysian Airlines crash have happened. Sounds controversial, right? But Dr. Ron Paul agrees with me. See, the media has reported that the plane must have been shot down by Russians because the missile that brought down the plane was Russian-made. That's how stupid they want you to believe, They would say, look, see this plane? It was made in Russia, so it had to be Russians. That's how dumb they take you for. That's how they treat you, how ridiculously asinine they are, and they think you are. But what they won't report is that the Ukrainian government uses the exact same Russian-made weapons. They will not report that the post-coup government in Kiev, according to monitors, has killed 250 people in the breakaway Lugansk region since June, including 20 that were killed as government forces bombed the city center after the day after the plane crash. Most of those were civilians, and together they roughly equal the number killed in the plane crash. How many of you knew about that? How many of you knew about the people killed when the government forces bombed the city center the day after the crash? By contrast, you haven't heard of anybody from Russia killing the folks in Ukraine. And these quote-unquote separatists have been striking largely military, not civilian targets. They will not report that the U.S. had strongly backed the Ukrainian government in these attacks on civilians, which the State Department called, quote, measured and moderate, unquote. They will not report that neither Russia nor the separatists in eastern Ukraine have anything to gain, but everything to lose if they shoot down a passenger liner full of civilians. They will not report that the Ukrainian government has much more to gain by pinning the attack on Russia. And as the Ukrainian Prime Minister has already expressed his pleasure that Russia is being blamed for the attack. They will not report to you, the mainstream media, that the missile that apparently shot down the airliner was from a sophisticated surface-to-air missile system that requires a good deal of training that the separatists do not have. They will not report how similar this is to last summer's U.S. claim that the Assad government in Syria had used poison gas against civilians in Ghouta. Assad was also gaining the upper hand in his struggle with the U.S.-backed rebels, and the U.S. claimed that the attack came from Syrian government positions. And then U.S. claims led us to the brink of another war in the Middle East. Remember how they all wanted to go into war in Syria? We came very damn close to going to war in Syria, except for the people spoke out very loudly and very clearly that they did not want to have their hands bloodied by that situation. And that public opposition forced Obama to back down, believe it or not. And now we've learned that the claims about the gas attack maybe weren't true. Of course, I'm sure it's possible that the Obama administration and the U.S. mainstream press has it right this time. It's possible. It's possible that Russia or the separatists in eastern Ukraine either purposely or inadvertently shot down an aircraft. It's possible. But the real question, friends, the real question to all the listeners out there tonight is this. Do you see how very difficult it is to get accurate information? Do you see why everybody engages in the propaganda when they can't get truth and real information? Truth is lies and lies are truth. Do you see that at this point it would be very unwise to say that the Russians definitely did it or that the Ukrainian government did it or that the rebels did it? Do you see why it is hard to get anything correct about the situation until there's a real investigation? Remember the talking points when they come in from Fox News, CNN, ABC, CBS, PMS, NBC, NPR, Clear Channel. Remember the catchphrases you'll hear from CNN, terror, 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 fear, fear, rebels, militants, terrorists, separatists, terror, terror, 9-11, 9-11, 9-1-1, hijacks, Obama, Obama, terror, fear, rebels, terrorists, militants, 9-11, Obama. State Department, rebels, militants, terror. Just repeat those words over and over and over, and you'll have one of their press conferences. I'm surprised people still watch these networks and take them seriously. I now am starting to understand why people will tune into Comedy Central and watch a show called The Daily Show, a Hollywood-produced, scripted, worded out, word per word, written by writers, a scripted program called The Daily Show. Yes, run by a guy on air by the name of Jonathan Stewart Leibowitz. Yeah, he calls himself Jon Stewart, a satirist, an actor, a media critic, and a stand-up comedian. I'm starting to understand why people are watching a scripted, written out, acted out television Hollywood program hosted by Jonathan Stewart Leibowitz. He wants you to call him Jon Stewart, a comedian, actor, and stand-up artist. But the problem is, when you're watching a show like Stuart Leibowitz's show, Jon Stewart to you all, into the crap, the problem is he benefits from this double standard that only he is supposed to get away with. He critiques other news shows from the safe, removed harbor of his fake news desk. So if you take him seriously, it gives him credit. It gives him credence. If you don't take him seriously, he'll say, oh, well, I'm just a satire. But the problem is shows like The Daily Show, hosted by actor, comedian, media critic, stand-up artist, Jonathan Stewart Leibowitz, is nominated for News and Journalism Awards. That's the problem. But I can understand now why people look at that as being just as legitimate as an ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, CNN, PBS. Hell, at least listen to NPR. I guess that way you can actively monitor the enemy chatter, right? That way you can find out how the false left-right paradigm's talking points are going to go down for the day, right? Could you imagine if Vladimir Putin just came out, had a press conference, invited all the Eastern media, invited RT, Russia Today, invited maybe even American media by satellite. Could you imagine what it could do to the New World Order if Vladimir Putin got out there and started calling out all the false flags? Folks, we're not fans of Vladimir Putin. But the guy has balls. I understand we've been talking about the sheep and how the sheep will buy into anything, and that Putin is increasingly a pariah on the world stage, but yet his approval ratings in Russia have never been higher. In the United States, with all our corporate controlled media, Barack Obama has, what, a 40-something percentile approval rating, 41 or 42%? Folks, did you know as of last week, a Gallup poll shows that Putin has twice that favorability? That 83% of Russians approve of Putin's job performance. Hell, maybe they just have better propaganda in Russia than they do in the United States. Maybe it's easier for them to get the Russians to buy into the propaganda than it is for the Americans. I don't know. Maybe it's because he doesn't hide behind a little wimpy press secretary and act like he just heard about whatever the news is from the nightly news like everybody else. But like I said, Putin has a pair of balls. I'm not going to say he's any less tyrannical. Maybe he just lies without having somebody else do it for him. That's possible. Maybe the Russians would like a Stalin. Maybe that's possible. Maybe they're all the same. Maybe Putin and Obama are exactly the same. And maybe that's why we won't see Putin call a press conference. And we won't see Putin tell us about the false flags around the world. It'd be nice if he did. I understand he's KGB. I understand he's a communist sympathizer. How is that different from our president again? If you look at the BRICS conference lately, folks, and look at that BRICS conference, where they set up their own money system, they're not buying into something like the banksters and the Federal Reserve. I understand that Putin is an example of a cyclical historical trend that is well due to repeat. The peak of the last era of strongman in the former Soviet Union was about 70 years ago. Maybe these things happen in 70 to 80 year old cycles. I don't know. But is the United States going to elect their own strong man, or dare I say strong woman, in our next elections? And when the United States beg him or her to deal with the problems that the nation has by further curtailing our freedoms, which they do every day, by likely inciting wars and rumors of wars, I mean, we get that Putin has included a province populated by ethnic Russians, and he's going to support some pro-Russian separatists who oppose Ukrainization, if that's a word. We get that someone has shot down a plane with foreign civilians, and everybody is putting the blame on Putin due to speculation and unreleased evidence. But isn't it very strange that the Russians are supporting Putin still? I think the bottom line, as I've been saying all along, folks, it doesn't really matter what they're saying on the Talking Heads programs. Despite all the noise, the jury is not yet in, folks, on who shot down that airplane. The jury is simply not in. We don't know. So no, I'm not holding my breath for a former KGB officer to all of a sudden come out and tell everybody about the false flags of the New World Order. I'm not holding my breath that that's going to happen. But he has been rocking the New World Order boat, so to speak. The powers that be are clearly upset. We see every day that World War III or IV or X or 3.0 or whatever we want to call it is just around the corner. We all hope that doesn't come to that. Anybody remember how with 9/11, before the smoke had even cleared from the buildings, we already knew it was Bin Laden? Anybody find that interesting that we already knew it was Bin Laden when it was the 9/11 planes, and we already all of a sudden allegedly know it's Putin when it comes to the Malaysian plane? I guess Putin's going to play the role of the boogeyman, and the Russian separatists will play the role of Al-Qaeda. But we want to know, will the sheep ever learn? Will the sheep ever learn, or will the puppet masters ever have to worry about being discovered? Will the mainstream media ever report the truth? We know it's rhetorical. We know it's hypothetical. We know the answers, folks. The mainstream media will report what they are told to report by their handlers, what they're told to report by the banksters. They're going to spew the propaganda for the war machine. Only takes a few minutes, folks, to tear up a week's worth of misinformation from the liars. We do it here every week. We have five shows a week here on the My View Matters Radio Network where they tear up the lies that are being fed to you. We want to close out tonight's show with portions of what John Whitehead wrote for the Rutherford Institute today. And it was called The Stealing of America by the Cops, the Courts, the Corporations, and the Congress. Call it what you will, taxes, penalties, fees, fines, regulations, tariffs, tickets, permits, surcharges, tolls, forfeitures, foreclosures. But the only word that truly describes the constant bilking of the American taxpayer, folks, is theft. Operating in a topsy-turvy Sherwood Forest, where instead of Robin Hood and his merry band of thieves stealing from the rich to feed the poor, you've got the government and his merry band of corporate thugs stealing from the poor and the working class to fatten the wallets of the rich. Yes, the poor get poor and the rich get richer. I know it's cliche, folks, but great dream of peace, prosperity, and liberty has turned into a nightmare of endless wars, debilitating debt, and outright tyranny. But what Americans don't seem to comprehend, what the sheep don't seem to want to understand, is that if government can arbitrarily take away your property without you ever having a damn say in it, if you truly have no rights, you're nothing more than a serf or a slave. In this way, the police state, with all of its trappings, from surveillance cameras, militarized police, SWAT team raids, truancy and zero tolerance policies, asset forfeiture laws, privatized prisons, red light cameras, stingray guns, fusion centers, drones, black boxes, hollow point bullets, detention centers, concentration camps, speed traps, an abundance of laws criminalizing otherwise legitimate conduct is little more than a front for a high-dollar covert operation aimed at laundering as much damn money as possible through government agencies and into the bank accounts of the corporate shysters. You see, folks, the rationalization for the police state in America are many. There's the so-called threat of terrorism, the so-called drug war, the threat of civil unrest in face of economic collapse. However, these rationalizations are merely excuses for the growth of a government behemoth, a behemoth that we talk about on the airwaves here every week, one which works hand in hand to profit with the corporations from a society kept under lockdown and in fear at all times. You see, as John Whitehead said in his book, A Government of Wolves, The Emerging American Police State, the real motivating factor here behind erecting a police state is not to protect the people, but to further enrich the powerful. Consider the following costly line items, part of the government's so-called quest to keep us safe and fight terrorism. $4.2 billion for militarized police. $34 billion for police departments to add to their arsenals of weapons and equipment. $6 billion in asset seizure by the federal government in 1 year alone. $11,000 per hour for a SWAT team raid on a government dissident. $3.8 billion requested by the Obama administration to send more immigrant judges to the southern border. $61 billion for the Department of Homeland Security. $80 billion on incarceration by the states and the federal government in the last year, and $6.4 billion a year for the Bureau of Prisons, and $30,000 a year to house an inmate. In summary, folks, the American police state is a multi-billion dollar boondoggle meant to keep the property and the resources of the American people flowing into corrupt government agencies and their corporate partners. This is called fascism. For those with any ability of accountability, it's clear that the total sum expenses being charged to the American taxpayer's account by the government add up to one bottom line, the loss of our freedoms. Are you going to seriously consider a plan to begin defunding the beast and keeping your resources in the community? Are you going to work for us? Or are you just going to lay down and give fellatio to the New World Order?
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.